The following message is brought to you by First Baptist Church, located at 111 North 2nd Street, Clearfield, PA. To hear the complete message, additional messages, or to follow us on Facebook, please go to www.fbcclearfield.com. That is www.fbcclearfield.com. We invite you to worship the Lord with us each Sunday at 10:45.
Amen. Thank you for that. You can turn your Bibles to Proverbs chapter 1. We'll be in Proverbs. But do you see what I mean by this church being kind and always thoughtful? And we all thought they were done giving, and they just kept giving, right? Just the kindness that overflows from their love of God. Thank you for that. So Proverbs chapter 1, and we'll be in verses 1 through 7 this morning. I'm starting a summer series in the book of Proverbs called A Summer of Wisdom. Let me see if this is working here, all right? A Summer of Wisdom. And so this summer, I'm going to be working through mostly chapters 1 through 9, as you can work through them pretty much like any other book. But at the end of the summer, we're going to stop, and then we'll continue on next summer, picking up chapters 10 through 31. And in that summer, I'll be preaching more topically, as you know, 10 through 31 is a very random proverb. You can't really preach through it like a normal book, and so that's why I'd be a little bit more topical. But I'm really excited about preaching through Proverbs and seeing what God has truth there. And let's begin by reading our passage this morning. Proverbs 1, 1 through 7. The Proverbs of Solomon, son of David, king of Israel, to know wisdom and instruction, to understand words of insight, to receive instruction in wise dealing, in righteousness, justice, and equity, to give prudence to the simple, knowledge and discretion to the youth. Let the wise hear and increase in learning, and the one who understands obtain guidance. To understand a proverb and a saying, the words of the wise and their riddles. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. Let's say there was a man who was sick. And so the doctor prescribed him some medicine, and the medicine could be very beneficial to the man to help him get better. But the problem was that the man did not consider what the instructions said on the bottle and how often and how much to take of the medicine. He would just kind of take the medicine whenever he felt like it, how much he felt like doing that day. And the result was that the medicine didn't work, because he wasn't taking enough medicine. He wasn't following the instructions, and it wasn't working effectively. And as we think about this, that brief illustration, what does it demonstrate? Many things can be beneficial to us, but in order for them to be beneficial, we must know something foundational. We must know maybe the instructions are just the foundational truth for something to be beneficial. So that medicine can help you out a lot, but it's only going to be effective if you follow the instructions on the bottle. So if you take too little, the medicine probably won't work as effectively. If you take too much, you could have serious side effects, possibly die if you take way too much. A house can be useful to you, but if it's falling down on you, it's not really useful to you. It doesn't have that good foundation. Exercise can be good for you, but a lot of times if you exercise in the wrong way, if you lift weights in a wrong way, you can actually hurt yourself, and it's not really beneficial to you because now you're injured and you can't do anything. You see, there's this foundational idea that needs to be accepted, needs to be understood and applied in order for something to be helpful, for something to be beneficial to us. So you just can't determine how much and how often to take medicine. It doesn't work like that. You must follow a guideline. You must follow an instruction. So as we consider the beginning of Proverbs, Solomon shows us how these Proverbs can benefit you. And we see that in verses 2 through 6 of just these amazing benefits that these proverbs can give to you, give to the reader, give to the listener. And so like that medicine, it can benefit you. So proverbs can surely benefit you as you live through your life here on earth. But before I dive in, I want to just give some introductory remarks about the book of Proverbs as a whole, as we'll be studying it. There's some important things to think about as you dive into Proverbs. So Solomon is the major writer of Proverbs, although there are collections of other Proverbs from other people. Think of chapters 30 and 31, Agur and Lemuel. Those are their Proverbs. But these Proverbs were collected, they're placed into one book, which we have today. But also, the Proverbs were primarily written for young men on the verge of adulthood. So it's giving them wisdom for life in society, maybe life in leadership. But they also speak to, and they can be applied to the whole believing community, right? That means they can speak to and they can be applied to us. Even though you may not be a young man on the verge of adulthood, these Proverbs can apply to you in different ways. So understanding that background material helps us understand why certain things are pointed out, why certain things are emphasized, because they're talking to young men. And so that's why you see some things emphasized as we work through in coming weeks. So what are proverbs in the Bible? A proverb is any profound pronouncement, including maxims, observations. They're usually comparisons, they're analogies. But we must mark the difference between proverbs as we know them in the English language in modern day with biblical proverbs. There is some difference. So when we think of our modern proverbs, we maybe think of statements like, you know, good things come in small packages. Maybe we say an apple a day keeps the doctor away. So English proverbs are short, pithy statements that are popular. But for the Bible, the proverbs are not always popular, right? And there's a reason, because they were made for the believing community. And to truly grasp them, you must know and believe in God. And we'll get a little bit more to that later. But also, you must understand the genre of Proverbs. So the genre is wisdom literature. And so really, you can't read the Bible, you can't really read the book of Proverbs like you read the book of Romans. You can't, because they're different genres. And if you think about Proverbs, the inherent nature of them means that they have limits. And what I mean by that is the Proverbs, they may overstate something. They may oversimplify something in order to make a point. And there's no fine print. There's no footnote. There's no list of exceptions in Proverbs. They're stating general truths. They're not trying to tackle every single circumstance that can happen in the world. So that means Proverbs isn't this magical formula that's going to work every single time, no matter what. But they're guidelines, they're principles, they're general truths that come from God. Let me give you a couple of examples. Consider Proverbs 26, 4 through 5. Answer not a fool according to his folly, lest you be like him yourself. Answer a fool according to his folly, lest he be wise in his own eyes. So which is it? Are you supposed to answer a fool or you're not supposed to answer a fool? Why would these seemingly contradictory statements be placed right next to each other? You know, if you think about it, if you're an author and you're not going to place two contradictory statements right next to each other if you're going to contradict yourself openly, there's a reason. Which is it? There are times when you should answer a fool, and there are times when you shouldn't. And the difference is wisdom involved, I know the situation, and I know which I should do. And so that's kind of my point, is that, you know, there's limits. Another good one, Proverbs 22:6. Train up a child in the way he should go, even when he is old, he will not depart from it. Is this a promise? No, but it is an accurate principle. Right training will most often lead to godly children, but there are exceptions. We must follow God's guidelines and principles in parenting and leave the results to God, who's in control. But even in, if you think about our own modern-day English proverbs, we understand that they're not promises. Think about it. The early bird gets the worm. If you're early every single time, does that mean you're going to benefit every single time? No. You know there's times when you arrive early, or you're there first in line and somehow you just don't get it, you know, the person behind you, or something happens, and we know that wasn't a promise. It's a general truth that, yes, generally, when you're early, you know, you benefit because you're early. And so why, when we think of biblical proverbs, why do you think differently? So those are some things to keep in mind. Every situation is different. There's variables. Our fallen world, it adds curveballs to situations all the time. So keep these things in mind as we work through Proverbs. So let's go into our verses 2 through 6 to start out. And they show us the purpose of these Proverbs and how they can be beneficial to us. So the first purpose is that they help you know wisdom and instruction. We see that in verse 2a. So there's rewards for heeding these proverbs. And the first reward is that you know wisdom. And wisdom really points to skill. So skill in the art of godly living. So the skill of choosing the right course of action for a result, for a desired result. So wisdom is knowing and doing. I know what is right, and I'm going to do what is right. I'm going to follow that path. So it isn't just I'm going to live smartly in this world, but I'm going to live morally in this world. You see, God created this world to be lived in this fixed order of wisdom. So these are the ways that God created us to live. So wisdom is living life the way God intended. So the more I know wisdom, the more I know how to live this life in this fallen world, in this uncertain world, in this world of turmoil and sin. I know how to live life morally and rightly. And I get this wisdom by listening and reflecting upon, specifically here for our context, these Proverbs. And in doing so, I know and I learn what true wisdom is. And another thing we know is instruction. And instruction points to discipline, the discipline it takes to know wisdom. So the more you study this book, the more you realize that wisdom takes work. So wisdom doesn't just come all at once in your life. You know, once you reach, 25, all of a sudden you have all the wisdom in the world that you need. That's not how it works. Wisdom takes work. And you can't just, sit on cruise control in your life and expect to grow in your wisdom. That's not how it works. Wisdom is partly won by the hard work of heart work. It's a painful process because when I'm confronted with wisdom, I realize that I've been wrong in the past. I realize that I've been living wrong. And we recognize that I need to change some things in my life. We can't just keep living the way that we have been living. There are wisdom sayings in this book. They're going to hit you right in the heart where you can't help but say, I've been a fool. I've been a fool. And that's instruction. It's discipline of realizing, wow, these things are hitting me right where I've been living wrong. And That's a good thing, because I'm growing when I change. You see, Solomon doesn't shy away from saying some hard things because he knows the hard things are important, and they instruct us and correct us. So this discipline and correction and chastisement at times is to shape our character in wisdom. And the more understand that, the more that you will know instruction, the more you will know the discipline it takes to live wisely. And in fact, the more you read these Proverbs and grow, the more you're going to realize that I cherish these times of correction because they're good. They have a purpose. So do you want to know wisdom? And do you want to know what it takes to get it? Read these Proverbs. The next purpose is that they help you understand wise sayings. We see that in verse 2b as well as verse 6. The word understand here really refers to discernment. So I can discern wise sayings. So if you can't understand Proverbs, if you can't understand wise sayings, you're not going to grow in wisdom, right? Let's say there is a student in a class, and yet he couldn't understand what the teacher was trying to convey. How can he grow in his knowledge? No, without understanding what she's saying. And so the wisdom found in these Proverbs is going to fall on deaf ears if you can't understand them. So you may hear them, you may read them, but if you don't understand them, it's not going to make any difference in your life. And really, if you think about it, what this shows us is that the more that you read Proverbs, the more you will understand them. It takes some time to understand them. It takes some study, really, some hard work of study. And you think about verse 6, it shows us this important truth again. Again, we see the word understand connected with wise sayings. So diligent study of Proverbs assists us in understanding more Proverbs, sayings, words, riddles. You know, most often wise sayings, they need to be thought through after you hear them. They need to be applied after you hear them to different situations. And that takes time. It takes repetition of hearing them. Think of riddles. As our scripture brings out here, riddles are questions or statements that give us clues, but they don't really give, you know, the answer in front of you. It takes effort. It takes some time to think through for the answer. So don't think Proverbs are just going to come naturally and everything is just going to, you're going to understand everything right away. It takes some study. It takes some time. So read and apply these Proverbs often. For in doing so, you're going to understand more wisdom. You're going to understand more insight. But also, the next thing that they do is that they help you be trained to live wisely. Verses 3 and 4. So through these wise sayings, we obtain instruction on how to practically live in this life. And we need to accept this instruction. We shouldn't neglect it or reject it, but we are to accept it. Even the times when it's chastening us. Think of the next line, in righteousness, justice, and equity. It really expands on this wise living, this wise dealing, showing us these are some of the areas that wisdom should show up as we live our lives. So I think of righteousness, it is doing what is right, conforming to the standard and will of God. So are we people who do right no matter what? Or are we people who try to cut corners? Or are we people who try to skirt around doing what is right? Think of justice, the application of righteousness, maybe just dealings, so we aren't unjust or unfair in any way in our lives towards others. So employers, are you just and fair with your employees? Parents, are you just and fair in your discipline of your kids? Do you enjoy and desire justice to reign in every single situation, even if maybe if it goes against popular opinion? It's like God is a God of justice, and so we should be people of justice who desire it, desire what is right to come out in every circumstance. Equity describes living a life in an upright way, living on the path that God has prescribed. But really, all these three terms point to a life that is just, fair, it is right, it is a life that is bolstered by trustworthiness, by integrity. They're concerned with truth, and they're bound by truth, founded on truth. And if you think about the implication of this verse, if you live a life that is not right, just, or fair, then wisdom is not being applied in your life. Wisdom is not being lived out, because these Proverbs lead us to live wisely in these areas in our lives. And as we consider the next couple of verses, they show us the types of people who can be trained to live wisely. So they give prudence to the simple. Prudence here is actually pointing to shrewdness, cunningness, devising smart tactics to gain a goal. So I'm able to look ahead and devise a plan to avoid danger, devise a plan to make wise choices. And this is what the simple really needs, is to be shrewd and cunning, not in a bad way, but in a good way, in wisdom. And the simple gains these from wise sayings. And when the Proverbs talks about the simple, it's someone who's not really chosen a side. They're kind of like in between. It's like, you know, they haven't really chosen full folly, but they also haven't grasped wisdom either. They're easily misled down the wrong path. They're naive. They don't apply any knowledge to situations. And God's wisdom gives the simple shrewdness in life, wisdom in life, and so they can learn to be wise. Likewise, the text talks about youth and how they can get knowledge and discretion. So typically, young people, they don't have as much wisdom, right? They lack wisdom in life. And yet God shows us that they can gain knowledge and discretion in order to live wisely. So what that means is that we don't look at young people as, you know, they're going to be forever dumb. No. We look at them with reminder that they can grow in wisdom. They can grow in discernment. We should want to teach them like Solomon does through this whole book. They can know what God desires. They can discern what is right in different circumstances in life. And if you think about it, someday they may even surpass your wisdom in life. So you want to live wisely? Read these Proverbs often. And in applying them, you can receive the training needed to live wisely in this world. We'll also see the last purpose of these Proverbs is that they can help you gain even more wisdom. See that in verse 5. So imagine a young boy in third grade. He was learning about multiplication tables. And every day he would work hard at learning those multiplication tables, and he would practice all the time. And he finally mastered them. And the next day the teacher moved on to talk about division. So she told everyone to turn in their books to the next chapter. But to her surprise, the boy who mastered the multiplication tables closed his book instead of going on to the next chapter. So the teacher approached the boy and asked him why he hadn't turned to the next chapter. And the boy responded by saying, "Well, what else is there to learn? I know my multiplication tables inside and out." You know, it may be a silly illustration, but yeah, how often do we act like that boy when it comes to wisdom? Where we think, what else is there to learn? When we see that boy's attitude, we think, man, that boy's being foolish. Of course, there's always more to learn. All you know is multiplication. You know, what about algebra? What about all these other things that you can learn? But we act like him where we think, I already arrived. What else is there to learn? And in our arrogance, we show ourselves to be foolish. And verse 5 shows us that even though we may have great amounts of wisdom, there's always room to grow. So not only are these proverbs, they're really beneficial to the simple, to the young, but they've been beneficial to the wise as well. They're for all people. Like I said earlier, you don't gain wisdom all in one shot. We grow in it all throughout our lives. So proverbs aren't just for beginners. They're for those who are experienced in wisdom. You never graduate from the class of wisdom in this life. We're increasing in learning and grasping what these proverbs mean, how they apply and maybe even new situations. And the one who understands can acquire guidance as well. So you may understand many words of wisdom, many words of insight, but you need continual guidance in applying them in the course of your life. So think about even in your life of all the different situations and circumstances. Some things are new that pop up where you think, I have never thought I would be thinking about this. And so you need to apply wisdom to a new area. And so that's why you need guidance in life. And to acquire more and more wisdom in applying to your life. So never think that you have arrived in wisdom. But be a continual learner. And that takes some humility, right? It takes some humility to think, I have some room to grow. I need to be growing in wisdom. But also takes some teachability. Why I want to be taught. I want to be taught, and I want to learn and grow. These are the purposes of the Proverbs that Solomon gives us, and really that God desires for you to grow in. So we can grow in wisdom and instruction. We can understand wise sayings. We can be trained to live wisely, and we can gain even more wisdom by them. So each part, if you think about it, is essential to a well-rounded, wise person. So imagine someone who says they're wise, but they don't live wisely. We would say, that person's not wise, right? Imagine someone who says they're wise, but they don't continue to learn. Imagine if they can't even understand wise sayings. You see, wisdom is multifaceted. It's kind of like this rainbow that displays all these different colors. You think about all these synonyms for wisdom that Solomon just keeps, you know, hammering at you, and it shows that wisdom is varied, and they all add on to each other to give you this fuller picture of what wisdom is. It's knowledge, it's insight, it's understanding these things, it's discipline, it's all these things that takes a person to be well-rounded in wisdom. It's teachability. It's growing in wisdom. All these distinctions show, though, also unity in one picture of wisdom. So we learned proverbs can really benefit you, but now look at how these proverbs are to be properly understood. So like that medicine bottle's instructions that need to be followed in order for the medicine to be effective, God gives us instructions on how these proverbs need to be understood for them to be effective. And we see this in verse 7, where God shows us the theme of the whole book, really, and really the foundation for the whole book. He says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction." And we understand from this sentence that a proper foundation is really needed. A house without a proper foundation is bound to fall at some point. So how we view the world and ourselves will fall apart without the right foundation. So we're thinking about the fear of the Lord. What is it really? You know, for many of us, when we think of fear, we think of cowering under your bed sheets and afraid of the boogeyman, right? That's what we usually think of fear. But when the Bible talks about the fear of the Lord, it's obviously much more than that. It's reverential submission to God. It's this love for God. It's humility for God. It's really love, awe, and fear all combined into one statement, one idea. And this fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. So how is it even the beginning? It's obviously the starting point. But as you think about the starting point, it shouldn't stop there. The beginning must not be left in the dust, because the beginning is the foundation, the framework that continues on. It's kind of like the ABCs of the alphabet. They're the first things that you learn, but you should never forget them when you're reading, right? They're always there because they're the foundation for all that you're doing when it comes to reading. And that's how the fear of the Lord relates to wisdom and knowledge. So all wisdom and knowledge has to start with and continue with a proper view and attitude towards God. It's the beginning of knowledge. Knowledge here is the correct understanding of the world, the correct understanding of oneself as a creature of God. So maybe those who don't believe in God, they have some knowledge. We're not going to deny that. They have some knowledge, but they don't have the true knowledge of how to live rightly in the world, how to view the world. So the foundation for knowing and doing what God requires is this reverential submission to God. So unbelievers may make some accurate statements about life, but they don't possess the whole picture without fear of the Lord. So those who are unsaved may have some limited worldly wisdom. You know, they may say, you know, apple a day keeps the doctor away, or some of those things. So those are in some sense wisdom, worldly wisdom, but they will never possess true, fuller wisdom without a relationship with God, without a proper view of God. Because life cannot be morally and rightly lived without a correct attitude and mindset towards God. So you may say that you have a relationship with God, but do you have this reverential, worshipful attitude towards Him, where you just stand in awe of Him and you love Him and I want to obey Him? That's fear of the Lord. That's a proper foundation for wisdom and knowledge. But do you have it? And do you continue to have it through each and every day, where I view the world through the lens of seeing each moment is the Lord's? Each gift is from God. And we must understand these proverbs with this foundation. But in contrast, fools despise it all. They despise it all. They despise wisdom and instruction. So where did we hear these two terms recently? In verse 2a. So if we gain wisdom and instruction by these proverbs, and we know fools despise wisdom and instruction, it shows that they don't really want to hear these proverbs. They reject God's word. They deem God's wisdom and the discipline it takes as worthless. Why? Why do they do this? Because they rather depend on their own wisdom. So obviously they don't fear the Lord. They're opposed to God and what He desires. So they don't have the right foundation because they despise it all. And they instead think, I can do life the way I want and the way that I think it should be done. And the result is that they don't possess true wisdom on how the world should be viewed, how your life should be lived in this world. And also the result is that they don't know how to live in this life in a way that is actually going to bring them true satisfaction, true happiness, true life, life eternal. You see, they think that their way is going to gain me joy in life, but it's not working because it's disregarding and despising the Word of God. You see, really, there's only two ways to live life: with this reverential submission to God, which leads to wisdom, or a lack of reverence and submission to God, which leads to folly. So which side are you on? Which side are you on? See, these proverbs can certainly benefit you, but you must have the right foundation. Think about that guy who took the medicine in his own way. And we look at him and we're saying, that guy is foolish. He didn't listen to the instructions. How often do we do it with our own lives, where we think, I hold all the answers to life, not realizing that we're not taking the medicine correctly. And it only leads to danger. Some of us may not even be taking the medicine at all. Think about it. Everybody wants to be wise. I never heard anyone say, hey, I want to be fool. You know, I want to be foolish. But there's a certain way to gain wisdom that can't be avoided. You see, wisdom takes time. It takes effort. It takes some humility. And ultimately, it takes this proper view of God, this proper mindset and attitude towards God. And as you think about this passage and lay of the New Testament, we find out that genuine wisdom comes from Christ, the source of wisdom. Colossians 2:3 says that in Christ is hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Two terms that we learned today. But is that where you seek it? Or are you looking other places instead of Him? Turn to Christ today to find these treasures of wisdom and knowledge. If you haven't trusted in Christ, make that right today. You may find life in Him. And if you have already, continue to look to Christ, who never stops giving wisdom and knowledge. And He holds these treasures, and He wants to give them. He is the source of them. He's this fountain that just keeps giving to us. So has your life been characterized as, I am the beginning of knowledge, or my family is the beginning of knowledge, or even these people with PhDs are the beginning of knowledge? And if so, you have essentially despised true wisdom and knowledge. And I encourage you, start over. Go back to the ABCs of wisdom. Start with the proper view and attitude towards God, which leads to a desire to heed His word, and which ultimately leads to wisdom. So may the simple find prudence, may the young find knowledge, and the wise find even more wisdom. Which category are you? So they may be different categories, but all of them need the same thing: God's wisdom found in Christ. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come to You in humility, and we ask You to give us this wisdom. Give us this knowledge, this instruction that only You can give, that only Christ can give. Help us be reminded of the proper foundation of fear of You, of reverential submission and acknowledgement of who You are and what You've done. Help us to live life with that lens of You, and how we are to see how the world works through how You see it, and how we are to live lives wisely in this world, being just and fair. Help us as this isn't an easy thing. Help us as it takes some effort, takes some work. But ultimately, you empower us to do that. You give us the grace needed to do that work. And surely it all comes back to you. And we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.